welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. The program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Shimon Parker. Today we have an interview with filmmaker Don Hardy, who collaborated with Dana Nachman to make a documentary called Pick of the Litter, which tells us the story of the breeding and training of a litter of service dogs for Guide Dogs for the Blind in California. This film has won numerous awards and is being screened at the Sydney Film Festival in June 2018. Hi Don, thank you for joining us today. Could we start off by you describing to us what Pick of the Litter is about?
Pick of the Litter, a movie that we made that follows a litter of puppies on their quest to become guide dogs for the blind. It was filmed over 2 years, and our five puppies underwent a dramatic change in growth and their hopes to one day guide somebody and help them, a visually impaired person, lead a better life.
What inspired you to make this film?
Yeah, my filmmaking partner Dana and I, we have been very interested in the work of Guide Dogs for the Blind for more than a decade. And in our former career as journalists for a local news station here in Northern California, we had done some short stories on Guide Dogs for the Blind, and we were interested in doing something bigger, but we didn't have the right idea on what to do, when we decided to move out and make documentaries, we started doing other projects about all kinds of different things and kind of forgot about the guide dogs idea until a couple of years ago when we were standing at a film festival and talking about the ideas that got away. And this idea for something to do with guide dogs came back up, and one of us said, what if we just followed one litter of puppies? Would that make for an interesting film? And we were off and running.
How did you gather the opening stories about the dogs that had saved their owners' lives? I was particularly fascinated by the disobey to protect principle in the training, which must be so contradictory when you're training dogs as such.
Yeah, that was one thing that really stood out to us as well. It was it's called intelligent disobedience, meaning that these dogs are trained so that they obey 100% of the time until they have to disobey to keep their blind partner safe. And it's just such an incredible idea that a dog could do this, to really make a choice to say, no, if I listen to the command you're giving me right now, it could cause us both harm. So we wanted to talk to people about that idea, that concept, get it in right off the top of the film. And so these personal stories about where dogs have done these incredible acts seemed like a great place to start. And one of the most profound that we found is a story about a man whose dog guided him down from the World Trade Center on September 11th, guided him down 68 floors to safety. And so we incorporate that story and then a few others, including some from people that you meet later in the film that are waiting to get one of the dogs from our litter.
Yes.
So it just seemed like a good way to give the film some gravitas right off the top. And hopefully hook viewers.
Yeah, well, that certainly worked, from my point of view anyway.
Excellent.
Getting back to the birth of the litters, how did you feel witnessing a litter of little puppies popping out like that?
Yeah, it was certainly something I've never seen before, and it gave that immediate connection for us to these five dogs that we were going to take this journey with. And we got to know them so well through it. It felt like a very... quite a privilege to be there from their birth, and to just stick with them for now almost 2.5 years.
Was it difficult to keep the momentum of the project over the 2 years that you were filming?
No, the project was just so interesting because the outcome was in doubt the whole time, and hopefully that tension that we felt in what's going to happen next transfers to viewers when they watch it, because there are a lot of twists and turns to this story. The training's very hard. Not every dog is cut out to be the best of the best that works with a visually impaired person. So, no, there were there were no real dull moments in this. We did 120 days of shooting over the a little more than two years of filming. And a lot of that was just because we didn't know what was going to happen next. And we had to show up with the cameras and see what came that day.
So I guess you being there, it didn't give you any insight on who would be the successful puppies?
Oh, well, we sure had our ideas right from the beginning. You know, we thought we had it all figured out. And we told some of the experts from Guide Dogs for the Blind, you know, we think so-and-so is going to make it and this and this. And they just laughed at us because they've been doing this a long time. And they firmly believe that you can never tell. And a lot of dogs seem like they have every perfect characteristic, but then there's just one thing that they don't do right, and that will cause them to be career changed, which is just being moved to another program where they can still be of service, but it's not working with the visually impaired, which is really the toppest, the best. So, yes, we had our ideas, but we weren't right, not even close.
In your view, who has the greater responsibility for the success or failure of the puppies, the puppy raisers or the trainers?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think what the people from Guide Dogs are fond of saying, and I've come to believe it as well, is that the dogs choose. You know, some really want to get up and do the work every day and study. You know, it's kind of like being in college or... maybe looking at it this way is a way that all of these dogs are doctors, but only the select few can be brain surgeons. And yes, so they say the dog really chooses whether they want to do the work or not. And I think that's true. I don't think there's one deciding part of their life, but that either makes it happen or not. Yeah, the puppy raisers certainly help. They take these dogs into their homes for the first 12 to 14 months of their lives and give them all of the basic skills. And then certainly when the dogs make it back, if they make it back to campus for the main training, which is about a 10-week training program of rigorous working with a professional trainer, they all play a factor. But ultimately, I think it's up to the dog whether they want to do it.
How much of the welfare of the dog is considered in the whole process? You know, they do mention this dog likes to work and stuff like that. Is that a guiding principle in the whole process?
Yeah, I think every part of the process is designed to make the dog successful. Hmm. And some of that even means separating them from their human that they love very, you know, there's those strong bonds have to be severed if it's in the best interest of the dog to move on to a different trainer, to a different home life situation, whatever it might be. And so the dogs are taken into consideration throughout the whole process. Hmm. And if a dog really doesn't want to do it, they're not forced to do it. They may still be looked at to do something in another career, or they could be returned to the original puppy raisers and become a great pet dog. The dogs are very well taken care of from everything that I saw throughout making this. And I hope that comes across to viewers, too, because one thing I hear a lot when talking to people about the film is that many people think these dogs never have a chance to have fun. They're always working, and they look so bored. But it really isn't the case when you spend time with them regularly like we did when making this, is the dogs are valued members of the family. They get to go everywhere with their person, and they get to do a job, which dogs like to have something to do. And then they still get plenty of time to be off the clock and running around and playing and being a normal dog, too.
Your film also highlighted the emotional investment of the puppy raisers and also the eventual owners in the whole cycle. Was it difficult to capture those very personal moments at times? Because there were moments of self-doubt and fear of failure and, you know, attachment, etc.
Yeah, I think those are always the most challenging moments of making a film like this. One thing that Dana, my filmmaking partner Dana, and I really pride ourselves on is that we work with a small crew. It's generally just a few people, or generally just us. And we want to capture all of the moments, but we also really want to respect that these people have given us this amazing window into their lives, and be respectful that it is their life, and were passing through in a way. So no, we didn't really encounter any resistance, but there were some moments along the way where it made more sense to put the camera down and just be a friend. And it's always tightrope walking that line when you're making these, pointing the camera in people's faces on some of their toughest moments.
You touched on other roles with the way the puppy Patriot assists the puppy raiser Adam deal with his PTSD, and also references to diabetes alert dogs. Could that be an indicator of some future projects you and Dana might get involved with?
Yeah, there's some great programs out there, absolutely. And I think that it would be great to do another project involving that animal and human connection. And there's a few stories that Dana and I are both talking about pursuing. Certainly no shortage of ideas and very worthy projects out there.
You dedicated the film to Jackie Heffner and Ted Vale. Would you mind sharing the significance of that dedication?
Yeah, Jackie is a friend of Dana's who died suddenly last year, and she was an animal activist who just really walked the walk and did a lot for animals, and it just felt appropriate that we dedicate this movie to her. And then Ted Vale is my brother, and he passed away this year as well. And Ted was the guy that really got me into movies way back when, and introduced me to some horror movies and documentaries, and just opened up my eyes to all sorts of stuff with film and with music, and it felt like the right thing to do.
Ah, what a lovely dedication. I actually did want to ask you about the music, as it did support the storytelling beautifully. Was it original?
Yeah, Helen Jane Long is a beautiful musician who my partner Dana had worked with a bit on another project, and they really struck up a great friendship. So when it came time to find a composer for this film, she was on our very short list, and she's quite busy. She is a touring musician. She had a new album coming out, but she still found time to do this score for us. And I think it really it just hits that right note, and it was tough. It was tough on her. It was tough on us to find that where it can't be too cutesy,
yep.
You know, but it also can't be like a big superhero movie score. It needs to tread that middle ground, and I think we found the right beats for it. I hope so. I'm very, very proud of how the score elevates the picture and adds some tension here and there. It really works well.
Did you edit as you were filming over the 2 years, or did you leave all the editing till the end?
Yeah, we tried to edit as we went on this. For a lot of reasons, one of which, you know, we were racing against a self-imposed deadline of when we wanted to be done with it. And also just to really, we were shooting it in a different way. We developed this little camera system that was heavily reliant on some autofocus things that we don't normally do. And we really wanted to make sure we were getting what we needed out of this, and we had the right kind of coverage so that we could edit stuff together and keep the film moving along. So we started looking at it early, and it was fortunate that because of where technology is nowadays with editing systems, I could have an assistant editor and my filmmaking partner, Dana, both working on stuff, and then they would line it up and then get it to me, and I would start making it prettier and laying in some of the score from Helen. And we could start getting a sense of where this was going fairly early on. And then still, when we got to the end, though, it was a real shapeshifter in editing for us. About, I think the first cut was 2.5-3 hours long, and we really had to shape the clay. Mm. And we were fortunate to work with a very experienced supervising editor at the end that helped us make some tough edits. We're obviously very close to the material at this point. And this guy, Doug Blush, who's worked on many films like Icarus that won the Academy Award this year, and 20 Feet from Stardom, and a lot of really big documentaries. He came in with some insightful ideas down the stretch, and I really think helped the film come together.
What was your most memorable moment during the filming?
It was probably towards the end where one of our dogs, who I shall remain nameless, meets their person. And that moment, I think about a lot, and still, I've now seen the film many, many times, but that's the moment that still gets me choked up. And to think how special it was for this person, and that they're outliving this great life together now. And it also happens to be, it was my favorite dog all through the process. So it was a very sweet moment, and that's the one that resonates the most with me.
Pig of the Litter tells a wonderful story about how people and animals work together. Why do you think people should go and see Pig of the Litter at the Sydney Film Festival?
I really hope people come out, and it's a fun story for kids and adults, and it's a nice story about people doing something positive for other people in the world. Yeah, I've really been thrilled to see how audiences are responding to it, and I hope audiences there in Sydney will do the same.
How many awards has Pig of the Litter won to date?
Oh, I believe we have 6 audience awards from festivals here that we've done in North America. Out of 10, out of 10 festivals, and a few of those don't even hand out awards. So we've been very fortunate that people are responding so well to it. I think that they just, our world needs a little more kindness right now.
That's true.
People are seeing that in Pick of the Litter.
Wishing you every success, and thank you for your time.
Thanks very much. I appreciate your interest in the film, and certainly the kind words. It's a great honor to be in the Sydney Film Festival and just keep it rolling all over the world. And then I guess it's going to be released there in Australia in the, I believe, in the fall. I don't have an official date yet, but that'll be exciting too.
You have been listening to Animates. The program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Joe Van Kool. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Shimon Parker. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.